Blessings and welcome back to Pew Babies, your apostolic young adult podcast. I'm Ron.
I'm Mike.
And you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are worthy to be praised. When that song came out, I don't know, our church got filled off that song. Everybody crying. Like, you can't sing that song without crying.
I can remember when.
So, Mike, I'm excited because you really set me up for this opener. So I want to hear what kind of church controversy you have tonight.
Yes, yes. So I got some controversies. These are actually real things that have, like, taken place.
Ooh.
So I'm interested in knowing your, just coming in some conversation. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I just want to know. And those listening in, please feel free to, like, email, write in, send a note, fax us if you have any feedback or input. So the first one is, Ron, I know that you and I kind of stand differently on marriage and divorce, but I still want to just kind of bring this up just to kind of hear where you, just kind of hear your thoughts on it, rather. So if somebody that has been, that's on their second marriage, gets baptized in Jesus' name, they have not received the Holy Ghost, do you believe that they cannot receive the Holy Ghost, or it's hard for them to receive the Holy Ghost until they go back to their first spouse?
So I don't think the whole, okay, I'll just say this. I don't think the Holy Ghost has anything to do with someone's marital status at all. You could be a harlot and get the Holy Ghost. Like, I, like, it has nothing to do with that. Harlot is so traditional. Like, but you get what I mean. Do you need to go back to your first spouse? This is where I have an issue, because I would never think about, like, going back to your first spouse. I disagree with that. If you were not married and you weren't saved, going back to your first spouse to, like, doesn't make sense to me. I mean, do they even want to receive you back? Like, that's when the scripture starts making sense. It's like, they don't, I don't even know if they want to dwell with you. So, were these people saved, or was, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter. No, it has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost, but I'm just curious.
So I will say this, the people were, I guess, witnessed to, and they got baptized in Jesus' name, you know, and the person that witnessed to them told them, said, in order for you to receive the Holy Ghost, you'll need to, like, go back to your first spouse or leave.
Oh.
And so
no, okay.
I just wanted to hear, like, what your thoughts were.
There are some very public speakers and figures that believe in that, leaving the one that you're with to go to an old spouse. I disagree with that. I don't think that makes sense, and it doesn't dictate your Holy Ghost, but I want to hear what you have to say, Mike.
No, I agree with you. First of all, like, that, it, I would never ever, like, if I'm witnessing to somebody, that's the last thing that comes to my mind, is like their marital status. Like,
right,
that, I just would never think to, like, tell someone, oh yeah, you need to go back, Ron, you need to go back to your first husband, because obviously you left them.
How did I even come up in the first place? Like,
I don't know. But I did just want to say that, you know, I just think that, like, it's so irrelevant to the plan of salvation. Like, if your heart is pricked and your mind is made up, then, and you repent, like, I don't know that who you're married to for a second time has anything to do with God's willingness to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, or with you receiving, you know, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because in that case, like, there would be a whole lot of fornicators out there that would not have been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because technically, if we go back to biblical term of marriage, consummate, you know, like, consummating a marriage is, like, you know, pretty much you've had sexual relationships with that person. Right. I believe, like, once you had sexual relations, you was married to that person. So right. Technically, there would be a lot of, if we're going to take the Bible literally, there would be a lot of people, you know, I don't want to say literally, if we're going to take the Bible in that sense, rather, in that context, there'll be a lot of people that would not be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But I strongly disagree with that, because, again, like, I don't think who somebody's married has anything to do with, you know. But I think that seed has been planted in that person's head now. Now it is going to be hard for them to receive the Holy Ghost.
Oh, no. Yeah, that needs to be corrected, I hope, quickly.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, you're supposed to get salvation for yourself. Like, it has nothing to do with your marriage. And I just want to emphasize that it's not that I'm against divorce of people who are saved and married in Christ. Mm-hmm. So I'll just put that there.
Okay. Second controversy is, someone went to Facebook this week again, these are real controversies that I'm using.
Okay.
And I think since we're going to be in the social media streets, I got one that I'm going to save.
Okay. I'm excited.
This particular person went to Facebook and basically stood boldly against Tyler Perry, who we know has portrayed Madea mm-hmm. over the years, and stood strongly in their stance for not Carlton Banks.
Who so the person made a post about...
They made a post about how they were convicted, and they went on to say that... You know, with the way the world is going, like, it's pushing this LGBTQ agenda, and, you know, like, there's other ways to be funny, but dressing as a woman is not, you know, the thing to do, and all this other stuff. The person went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And so to a point where the person ended up limiting the comments on their posts. So, you know, nobody outside that person's friends list could comment the post,
yeah,
but she got like over 1,000 some odd shares, and it was met with mixed feelings. And so I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think we talked about this before. Like, I don't disagree with the poster. Like, I agree that there are ways to be a comedian without dressing in drag. You don't have to do it. Like, you could put a towel on your head. You don't. And I felt this way, like, when I started seeing, like, Not Carlton Banks have, like, the fake chest and stuff like that. Like, it just started going way too far. And I didn't get to read this post, so I don't know the full stance. But I do think, in a way, it makes us more, I don't want to call it accepting, but... like, it diminishes our perception of what is right and what is wrong, if that makes sense. I still stand on the fact that, you know, cross-dressing is not, it's not appropriate. It's not of God. Like, there is a way, there's a distinction between a man and a woman. I still stand on that. And I think that, like, even though it is gospel comedy and I enjoy laughing about it, at the end of the day, it is, I think, something that kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word, but it diminishes the impact, I think, of these issues that we all kind of hold very strongly to, or, like, I am sure the Bible stands for. So that's where I am. I just, yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, no, I agree with the poster. So what's your thoughts?
So, I mean, I think more so my thing with, and someone said in a comment, my whole problem, is, especially with Tyler Perry, has been that the world is going to do what the world does, right?
Right.
But it's always, you know, a little bit like, it was either A, the way the Black community were re-represented sometimes for me,
mm-hmm.
and then B, it was almost like sacrilegious, like, you got this older lady, you know, who smoke weed and do all these other things, and then she's gonna give biblical advice, like, on the flip side. That's where my problem, that was where the most of my problem lied in, whatever. I think my biggest thing was, should we take these stands to social media? Here's the thing. I think that people are very well within their right to take a stand against things that, you know, that are their convictions, right? Like, you know, but at the same time, like, what are we accomplishing posting this when, after you post it and it goes viral, Tyler Perry is still going to be Tyler Perry, not Carlton Banks, because still going to be not Carlton. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just kind of want to know your thoughts on that, because I'm not, you know, I don't think that's a right or wrong answer for it. I think that
right.
I can see where she's coming from. Like, I could definitely see where she's coming from, where her convictions lie, like, you know, but at the same time, should we go to social media with these?
I think I'm torn on this question about should we go to social media, because I think... because the way it went viral, I think it's something that people are conscious of, but they kind of let go. To me, this is more than Beyonce, right? Because these people represent Christ in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. their comedy is directed to us as Christians. And so I think pushing, like, putting on social media, I think that was great. Now, shit, the poster. We have limited the comments. That is an interesting question to me, because I think you stopped the conversation. You know what I mean? Instead of talking in your bubble, I would have loved to see other people comment and see what they thought. You know what I mean? You put your thoughts out there. So to restrict other people, I think is problematic, because, I mean, we should... I don't think it's a problem of getting other people's opinions on things.
Right.
Especially when you put yours out there for everybody to like look at and display publicly, you know what I mean? And debate.
Right.
And I'm going to say this other thing about it. So not Carlton Banks went on, what's the Tyrell?
The Tyrell show.
Yeah. And even when you like listen to Tyler Perry in their interviews, like it's like a personality change that kind of gets me. Like they go, they're like weird, like they're quirky, weird, and they go right back to that character. Like they can't come out of that character. Like Tyler Perry, he'll be talking like solidly regular, and then like it's like Madea comes in a second, and then it like flips back, and he might not even be like, well, did you see the movie that he acted in? Sorry, this is off topic.
Which movie?
It was a movie, was Angelina Jolie on it? And then like he did that, and he did like Alex Cross.
I saw Alex Cross.
He does a few, he's done a few,
I've seen movies. A few movies that he's been in.
Has it affected your perception? Has like Madea affected your perception of him being in those movies?
The ones where he's acting as himself, well, like he's acting in like as a regular person that has Madea in it is kind of weird, because it's like, you know, and then with the editing and stuff, there is, you see him beside it, so it's a little bit hard to take. But the ones that he's been in just by himself, like Why Did I Get Married, has he plays in, that's, it's right. Not a Madea movie.
That's true.
It's a little like I can bear that. Okay. And you already know kind of my stance on Tyler Perry anyway. It's like I love Tyler Perry for giving people jobs, right? But the writing and stuff in his movies is just not good. Like somebody made a graphic for Acrimony 2, and I was like, let's not. Please, let's not do Acrimony 2.
Acrimony is the funniest movie ever.
Let's not do it, because I cannot do this. I can't do it. But I think for me, when he first started acting alone in a lot of these movies, it was hard for me to disconnect him from Madea at first. Like it was hard mm-hmm. for me to disconnect that. But so I don't know, like even like when I see certain people, you know, in certain things, you know, now on TikTok and stuff, it's become a trend where people have created certain characters for, you know, whether like they're male, but they created these female characters.
Right.
Sometimes it's a little bit hard to disconnect them from, you know, from that character. And it's not so much that it's a spiritual thing for me. It's just that like that's who I know them for. Like that's, if I watch the videos and I laugh, it's because, you know, that's what I've known them for.
Right.
So sometimes it can be a little bit hard to like disconnect. But my biggest issue with the Madea was that, you know, it was like you had this person talking, trying to give advice. And so, you know, and all this other stuff. And she's like, you know, supposed to be, you know, smoking weed and doing everything else. She got a gun, but then she gives people kind of almost spiritual advice. Like where for me, it was like, okay, this crosses the line a whole lot, especially when we start bringing church in it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my thing was. But I don't, when it comes down to like I said, I see where this person was coming from, like on the post, like I see where they were coming from, but I'm like you, like you should have kept those comments open. Like you should have been ready to have a discussion, because you took a bold stance, and you know, like people, once people saw that, people were going to have a problem with it. Like, but my thing is this, if you were bold enough to go on Facebook and stand up in it, you should have stood up in it. You know, you shouldn't have taken a seat, and you should have stood up in it and been ready to have a conversation and have a healthy conversation. Cause sometimes people just want to have a conversation. Like,
and you don't have to respond to the comments, and you can turn off the notifications.
But it was just like you turned the comments off because you knew what this was gonna cause. And so, and I got another controversy that's similar that I'm gonna bring up later in the show. The last one, and I don't even know, it's, I'm gonna make it quick. So this is just hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something like this happen on social media. So we always speak about like sometimes the only Bible that people will see will be us, right? Like,
right.
You know, when you're saved, when you're in Christ. I love social media, and I love that social media has given certain people a platform to be able to, like, you know, businesses and even people that like have ministries and stuff. Like a lot of ministries have thrived from social media because people have been able to like log in and like tune into your service, tune into your live, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So someone, you know, let's just say, I'm not even going to explain the situation. I'm just going to say, so let's just say you wrote a status on Facebook talking about sexual immorality and talking about how, you know, you shouldn't live together before you marry. Let's say you made this status that, you know, you shouldn't. And someone under the comments says, hey, you know, well, what if I don't have anywhere else to go? Like, I would love to get out of the situation because I feel like I'm living in sin, but I don't have anywhere else to go. And your response is, well, that's not my issue. You need to pray on it. Matter of fact, you can dial 211 and they'll find you a shelter to go to. This is a real response. Like, this is a real response. Because but you cannot shift the blame to other people, and you can't hold other people accountable to your actions. Like, what would your response be?
Again, I'm not anti these posters. Like, I'm not. The sentiments that people share, fine, but I do agree, like, if somebody is in a certain circumstance and they can't, like, your response can't be, I don't know what to tell you, call 211. Like, that's crazy, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to say that shacking up isn't wrong, but the real reason why shacking up is wrong is because of what?
Fornication. Yeah.
You want people to refrain from fornication. So I think, like, we need to get to the base of, like, okay, why is living together an issue? If that person is staying together, like, living, and that's the only place they can live, fine. Okay, doc. Like, your response should be something like, hey, brother, sister in Christ, well, like, I understand your situation is hard. The reason why shacking up is an issue is because we should refrain from fornication as Christians. Here's a Bible scripture to support that. You know, your body is the temple. You should keep it holy for God. And the bed is the only thing that's undefiled. And, you know, like, until you can get your situation together, just make sure you refrain from having sex. That's your response. Exactly. Like, it's not to be like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I think I need people to, like, we go from A to, like, H instead of explaining and bringing things down. Like, oh, we just don't believe in shacking up. Well, why? Like, get to the actual crux of the issue so that person can feel. You shouldn't make somebody feel bad for themselves just because they're homeless or they don't have a place to stay. That's crazy. That's not Christ-like. So, and that's not the reason why we say people should refrain from shacking up.
I agree. Like, I think for me, when I saw it, I was like, ooh, you know, because you have to be so careful, you know, on social media. Because what I found out, especially within the last, 3 years, is that people are super vulnerable. Like, pandemic has left people vulnerable to a point where people are looking for any kind of spiritual food they can get. Like, that's what I've seen on social media for the most part. Not talking about, like, there's people on social media that's just, you know, gonna be, but there's people out there that's actually hungry for Christ and hungry right. to do right, hungry to, you know, to live righteous and stuff. And I applaud that 1,000%. I think for me, it would have been a conversation that was like, you know, hey, like, I understand, like, inbox me. I wouldn't have wrote that out as a response. I would have inboxed this inbox sister and said, hey, you know, like, I understand, like, listen, don't think that I'm trying to tell you to get your stuff up and leave, but what I am telling you is, until you guys can get married or until you all have, like, a solid plan of what you're gonna do, like, you know, don't sit up there and keep, you know, giving the milk for free, you know, because he ain't gonna marry you, sis. If you keep giving that milk, we ain't got no reason to marry you, you know. And so I would have a conversation. I would say, hey, let me help you find some resources, maybe, like, mm-hmm. help you find an apartment or help you, you know, with some places that you can be independent and, like, help you maybe find employment where you are so you can, you know, live in a separate place. What I'm not telling you to break up from your significant other, but what I am saying is, if you are truly serious about your walk with Christ and trying to not live together, then let me help you out. Like, let me see who I know in your area that can really, like, help you out and help you find your own place till you all are ready to get married, and then you know, go from there. That would have been what I would say, only because I'm a person, immediately I'm always trying to help somebody, like, trying to figure something out. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would have just put that out there and just been like, sis, dial 211. They can help you find a shelter. You just need to get on your knees and pray because the Lord revealed what to do. Like, no. Like, you're not talking to another saint per se. You talk to someone that's probably what you put on Facebook probably convicted this lady, made this lady feel bad about what she was in. And that should have been an honest conversation to say, hey, like, I get what you're feeling. And the person in that comment, woman went on to explain. She said, I've reached out to different churches for help because I don't want to be living in sin and nobody has gotten mad with me. First thing, well, that's not their responsibility. And to you can't hold them. It's not their responsibility, but that's not what she needed to hear in the moment. She needed to hear in the moment, like, okay, let's see how we can help you. But I think, and it goes back to this, people talk a good game on social media and like to be deep, whatever, when it comes down to real ministry,
we
tap out. The Lord brought me out, he can bring you out too, and I'm like, that's not it. So anyway, that was my controversy.
That was good. My last thought, based off these last two controversies, right, is some of y'all need to get a journal. Because here's the thing, is that social media and posting is a form of communication. It's not like you're just like, a lot of people use it as a way to like get affirmation or something like that, but you are communicating something, and that means you can get a response back. And if you don't know how to handle responses back, then you just need to write to yourself. It's okay. You don't have to share all your ideas, but
you really don't. I mean, certain things can be just, or maybe put it in a group chat. If you got a group
chat.
In your group chat, or maybe like share it amongst your youth group. But you just need to know like what comes with being bold on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to know what comes with that and don't back down and run from it. Like, again, I don't ever want anybody to feel bad about what they believe. Like, stand up in what you believe.
Right.
If you don't believe sugar goes in grits, like, stand up in that. But just be ready for the pushback that comes with that. Your sugar does not go in grits, and sugar does go in spaghetti, okay? So just a little bit.
Stop making everything sweet.
Cut that bitterness. That bitterness in that spaghetti sauce. Anyway,
all right, so this episode, you guys, we're literally just doing social media talk and just in the social media streets. Mike, do you have church announcements?
Have a couple church announcements that I just want to mention, and then we can just jump into social media streets.
I mean, it's just gonna be us chatting about things that's happening right now, you guys.
Yeah,
enjoy yourself.
Smooth transition. So praise the Lord, everybody. You all know the drill. I'm not gonna get into it. I'm just gonna jump straight in. Wells Fargo launches a new program with Bishop T.D. Jakes that has people fuming. Some of the internet has been questioning Wells Fargo deal, asking if there were no profit housing organizations in need of funding. The last time these banks worked with churches, they trapped Black folks into subprime home loans. Housing crisis, Great Recession of 07-08. In the author's opinion, she says anything with Wells Fargo is a scam. The fact that they made this partnership with TD Jakes makes the deal sketchy to me, especially from the article. Wells Fargo bad reputation isn't a recent acquisition either. Back in 2013, the bank paid $175 million settlement in response to allegations that it offered higher rates and mortgage fees to Black and Hispanic candidates. And I'm just trying to see
what's the details of the program.
So I went to the Microsoft article, and so it says Wells Fargo's committed $1 billion to fund community development projects with partner TD Jakes Group, but the plan has critics across social media. Regarding equity issues in banking, few institutions have come under as much scrutiny as big-time bank Wells Fargo. So when Wells Fargo announced a 10-year partnership with the TD Jakes Group to build mixed-income communities, the plan was met with scathing criticism. Many respondents to the bank's latest move cited the numerous discriminatory allegations levied against the bank over the years. Last year, the SEC began investigating claims that the company was hosting fake job interviews to bolster internal diversity requirements. Around the same time, the bank was also called out for closing long-time accounts without warning. Wells Fargo bad reputation isn't a recent acquisition, as the woman said in the article. So to jump back to the source of where we get our announcements, Bishop T.D. Jakes' multiple enterprise holding company has announced a 10-year billion-dollar partnership with Wells Fargo and company to revitalize neighborhoods, foster economic opportunities, and create long-term change. So Jake cites an article that shows Blacks will have little to no wealth by 2053. Then Ali starts discussing mixed-income inclusive housing. In a addition, Wells Fargo has a recent history of discrimination against Black America, with some accusations stating they used the church to steer Blacks into subprimes in the recent past. Do you have any thoughts on this?
So I agree with everybody. Wells Fargo is a scam.
They scammed me.
That was my first bank. And while I was abroad, they took out a line of credit and put it on my credit report. And you know, like, yes, I did not know. I was barely had any money in that account, and they did that. And so I got a settlement from a lawsuit. So you know, when they were creating these like ghost accounts and stuff, yes, I was a victim. So Wells Fargo, as far as they're concerned, I wish they would go bankrupt. But anyway, my understanding from the article, though, is that it sounds like Wells Fargo is giving the loan to TD Jakes, right? Not to the actual homeowners. Is that correct?
It sounds like that. Like, they're, you know, of course, they're saying partnership, but it sounds like this is what it is. This $10 billion is going to be used to, like, I guess, create these neighborhoods and stuff like that.
Right. So I guess my question is, that's not necessarily the loan that people are taking out for their mortgage for the house. So, I mean, that's something different. I mean, still, I don't trust Wells Fargo. I'm sure they're doing this as a way to increase their image because they understand what they need to do. But the best way to do that is not to partner with TD Jakes. The best way to do that is to get rid of whoever is in management and whoever is on the board of directors and switch that up. That's how you fix that. I will say I commend TD Jakes and his church for trying to invest into the community and trying to build diverse housing with multiple incomes. That's great, but we couldn't have found somebody else that has a more legitimate background to partner with. You know, Bank of America is pretty decent. I love TD, and like, you know, TD, there's TD people good that you can like get connected to that have a better history. But again, this sounds like a loan that this partnership between TD Jakes and Wells Fargo can go bad. And I'm just hoping and I pray that it doesn't affect the families, but the idea behind it is great. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen this partnership with like a Black bank. And ooh, I'm sure down in Texas, especially Dallas and Houston, they have some Black banks there. And I know like probably these Black banks don't have the portfolio as Wells Fargo, but I think this would have been a great opportunity to help the banks, but also to help the community. And again, I applaud TD Jakes for the effort in trying to revitalize like Black communities or have Black communities where, you know, they're prosperous communities, they're communities people want to live in. I just would have loved to have seen this partnership with like a Black owned bank or with a bank that has a reputation for being fair to people of color, not Wells Fargo. But, you know, again, A for effort. I'm sure they probably didn't take this into consideration, but people remember, you know, with Wells Fargo, especially, right, you know, during the time when everybody remembers the housing crisis of 2007, 2008. Everybody remembers that. And then everybody also remembers when Black people were getting higher interest rates than other people were.
Right.
So think that that should have probably been thought about the board of directors to say, hey, like, is this going to be representative of like what we're trying to do and things like that? Because I think there's still a fear there. You know, you're trying to buy a house. People probably are not going to run to the door of Wells Fargo to get a home loan or to get a mortgage loan anywhere but Wells Fargo.
Right.
So,
and Wells Fargo will nickel and dime you to death. I don't know if they changed their policies, but back when I was there, those overdraft fee expenses was crazy. So don't do it to yourself.
All right. Moving forward, Dwayne Wade and family forced to leave Florida. Whoa. I say good for him to protect his family. These are the author's words. Sad but true that this is a red state. I live here, but the author lives there. But glad that he is happier out of Florida. Still see Confederate flags here. In my opinion, the state is waging a culture war against its minorities in order to make them uncomfortable and feel unsafe living in Florida so that they will move and make the state more red. They're now planning to make discrimination legal for doctors and health insurance companies to deny care to having a conscience-based objection. Retired NBA great Dwayne Wade said his family left Florida because of the state's restrictive laws targeting LGBTQ plus people. In an interview set to air this week, Wade made the comments for Showtime's Headliners series, which airs Myers Thursday, telling host Rachel Nichols his family moved to California after he retired from the NBA in 2019. Wade's 15-year-old daughter, Zaya, is transgender. Wow. Any thoughts there?
This is so loaded, Mike. Look, here's the thing. You don't want to put your family in a place where they are in danger, where they could be attacked, where they don't feel safe. So if you're willing to accept your child, and he has embraced his child, Zaya, then, you know, you did the right thing. Move to a place that's going to protect your child. I still stand for that. You know what I mean? Like, none of us should ever want to see a child be put in danger. 15 years old, that's still a kid. They're still developing, they're still growing. And so definitely, like, move. And so I definitely support that. And I'm gonna be honest, like, y'all always keep this child's name in your mouth. Remember, this is a child. This is somebody who's still growing and developing. Like, we just drag people across the internet all day long. And Zaya is minding her business. She is minding her business. And her name is always in everybody's mouth. It's always being dragged. And it's just like, you know, I couldn't imagine being 15 years old dealing with any of the things that I dealt with as a 15-year-old and dealing with it publicly. So let's just let Zaya have peace. I don't know how she pronounces her name, but let's let her have peace. Like, we can believe what we want to believe, but we shouldn't put people in danger. That's my biggest thing, is like, that's not godly, is to put people in danger. If you feel like people should suffer punishment or something like that, let God be the divider and the division of that. Let God get the revenge. Let God do whatever he wants to do. But you should have peace and love and keep people protected. That's my thought. So Mike.
Yeah, I agree 1,000% with what you said. Like, I mean, they literally keep this kid's, like, name all over social media, and Dwayne Wade, and he's not this, he's not that. Like, I'm glad he moved up out of Florida. I don't care how much money you have and things like that. Certain things money can't buy, such as peace, you know, peace of mind, you know. And not to say that you won't find problems in California, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know what you're dealing with in Florida, you know, versus, like, what you're going to get, like, moving California. And so, you know, you protect your family at all costs. Like, you know, and I you know, would do the same thing if I was a father. Like, protect your family. Like, I'm not gonna keep my family here, you know, only to, because you don't, people are so mean, people are so, you know, are so radical and stuff like that. You don't know what people could do, you don't know what people motives could be, like, you know, or plan to come out. Oh, and you hear on the news, like, oh well, you know, Dwayne's Wade, you know, house was, you know, was someone, you know, lit it on fire, or someone, you know, went and started shooting, you know, towards his family. Like, you just don't know, because people feel that strongly, especially people that identify as conservative and stuff like that. Like, we saw what happened January 6th. Like, we still remember. But at the same time, like, I applaud them for moving, and applaud him for keeping his family safe. And like Ron said, you know, she's 15 years old. That's a child at the end of the day. And so no matter, like, what you think about the decision that Dwayne Wade has made and his wife has made concerning this child, that's still their child, still a 15-year-old you're dealing with. So yeah, I kudos to him for, you know, getting his family out of there. I'm going to just leave it at this last announcement here. So we haven't examined a word in a while, so tonight we want to examine the word wild. For an animal or plant living or growing in the natural environment, or a place or region uninhabited, uncultivated, or inhospitable. With that being said, we just want to say that church has become a wild place. Pastor Tim Ross, the oversight pastor of Transformation Church, compares Jesus to a stripper.
Oh, God.
Every time I think it can't possibly get worse, it gets worse. My Jesus is not a stripper. Of all countless descriptions he could have used, a stripper is what he thought was fit for Jesus. Former megachurch pastor and current Transformation Church oversight pastor Tim Ross compares Jesus to a stripper. I'm not going to play the clip, but you can, when you get time, you can go on Twitter or either TikTok to hear about the
blasphemy, the
comment that was made, the blasphemy. I didn't thank you.
Because what is happening? Mike, I am tired. I am tired of people being attention seeking. So they just say absurd things that don't make any sense. When has that become a preaching style? And like, it was so much stuff about that video that it just stressed me. It upsets me and it's just annoying. And like, I'm actually surprised with them. I'm surprised with Tim Ross. I'm surprised with Transformation Church. I'm surprised with, what's his name? Mike Todd.
I'm not surprised with him.
It's just absurdity after absurdity. And I'm just like, where is this coming from? And it's false doctrine. It's false teaching. And why would you ever say that? Like, it didn't even make sense. God hanging on the cross made him a stripper. Nobody was throwing money at him. Like, this was him being crucified. So it's dumb. It's a dumb example. It was just used to grab attention. And I don't know when the gospel required us to be attention seeking, but that's not it. You need to be sat down. And wasn't he singing like a song? There was like money in my pocket, something.
I believe so. When I tell you, I'm sick of y'all. Like, I am sick of you all. I try to tolerate the low light. I try to tolerate you guys, you know, giving these concerts, doing praise and worship. I try to get with you all coming in church with hoodies on and preaching with your hoodies and your sweaters on. I try to be understanding of it because I say, you know, maybe there's a generation to reach here. I try to be understanding, but you all literally make me sick. Like, Mike Todd in Transformation Church increasingly stays in the news. If it ain't this, is that. If it's not that, is this. And it's like, it's not for anything that's like, you know, like small controversies over something he said that might have got misinterpreted or something like that. It's for things that are actually like dead wrong. Like, you are dead wrong. You literally got up here, you compare my Jesus to a stripper. Really? And I used to listen to Tim Ross podcast his show on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Canceled. Yeah. Canceled.
You're done.
Because like, you're done. Because like, what, even people that don't even go to church and they don't even have any association with Christ on social media saying, you know what, y'all have gone too far. Y'all have gone too far. This is too much. Like, what are y'all doing? No. I blame this whole modern church movement. I blame this whole, you know, What is this church? This whole Jesus culture movement that you guys got going on. I blame the CCM. Like, I blame all of it because y'all started this mess. Y'all started this mess because y'all started letting people do whatever they wanted to do on stage, say whatever they wanted to say. And like, Mike Todd repeatedly gets on there and preaches erroneous. Yeah, I mean, erroneous things every just week. Wrong. And people eat it up like they're eating grandma's chocolate cake. Like, you all sit up there and literally eat this stuff up every week. And this, what this man says doesn't biblically make sense. It's not theologically correct. But to compare Jesus to a stripper, lock that man's church up, padlock the doors, let those people go somewhere else so they can get some word.
Mm.
Like, this is too much. Like, I hate it. I hate it so much. And like I said, I try to be open to a lot of like these new style churches and stuff. Like, I try to be so open to it because I do realize, like, when it comes to church, I'm a traditionalist, whatever. Like, I still like a suit and a shirt and a tie to church. You know, the choir to march in. You know, I still like the old time way of us doing things, like it's 1992. But I try to be open. I try to like give you all a chance. I try to give this new church a chance to say, you know what? I can get with it a little bit. I even started opening up. I was like, you know what? That's okay. Like, I can dig it. At least they're in church. At least they're getting some word. At least they got something in there. At least they're, you know, starting to open themselves up. But you all disappoint me time and time. And it's just not Mike Todd, Transformation Church. It's a lot of Transformation churches out here that continuously get up here and disappoint me all the time. And I'm sure if you disappoint me, I know for a fact you disappoint the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm easy to get along with. But when I look, like, I go on YouTube, I go on Facebook and look at these live stream churches, you all are the same. You all continuously do the same things, all in the name of Jesus. Like, no, stop, cut it out. Turn those lights back on. Pack those chairs up and put the pews back. Get you some mothers in Zion. Get you a deacon board. Because this is not it. And then yesterday, today I was on social media. And apparently Bishop T.D. Jakes has a hologram of himself.
Mm?
Yes, at his conference.
For what? What?
I wish I was making that up. It was a hologram of himself talking. And I don't want to get too deep into it because I...
So he wasn't there in person and
he had a hologram come out. And again, I'm trying to be open because technology is changing and...
This is exhausting. Like, we got to stay vigilant, saints. The word talks about watch and pray. Like, you really need to watch. You really need to pray because it's just too, it's too much. It's getting too much. First off, I don't care who you are. If you don't open the scripture when you're about to preach to me, I cannot receive it. Like, I need to get actual Bible. Point me to the word that you're reading. So that way I can read the beginning and the end, because we need to put things in context of where it belongs, because these pastors and these new churches are taking things and just saying whatever they want to say. And when we talk about transformation, yeah, they're definitely the transformation, the gospel, they're transforming the word of God. They're transforming your belief. They're transforming everything. And I just can't get with it. So yeah, like Mike said, cancel. There's got to be some type of accountability for what y'all be out here posting and saying.
But there's not. And I know that Mike Todd donated money to certain churches and stuff, but y'all gotta start picking up the phone and letting this man know, like, you're doing too much. Like, you're doing
send the money back. I would
send the money back, do something, because anybody this is too much. Mm-mm. It's not like it's a small thing. It's not like he got up there and maybe misquoted something. It's not like he got up there and did something that's in human error. Like, alone on this show, we've talked about pastors is like openly rebuked people before,
right?
Like, crazy enough, but again, like, we was just okay, like, all right, cool, like, it happened, fine. We've talked about, you know, people that's gotten in the pulpit, and I was listening to one of our older episodes yesterday. I've gotten in the pulpit and was talking about how, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, they didn't get nothing for past anniversary. Like, okay, like, we were over it, fine. But this,
yeah, no,
you comparing Jesus to a stripper? Come on back now, Lord, we're ready.
Yeah, no.
We're ready. People getting excited about that. Like, nobody saw anything wrong with that.
At all.
Nobody saw people rejoicing in that. And that's what has made church culture so free and people can do whatever now. Like, even the most liberal people that I follow on social media was like, that was too much. What in the world?
When you have people saying, and this is Mike Todd, that Jesus never reached his full potential, that threw me, because what else did he come here for? He fulfilled his purpose. Like, it's too much. It's too much. Y'all taking too many concepts from the world and trying to relate it to church. And it's not. There's a separation. There is a separation. There is a separation. And like, I understand we've talked about before in a lot of episodes about us trying to evaluate being raised in church and what principles and stuff that we want to keep and maintain, what kind of relationship with Christ we want to personally build, and not just be people who are mechanical and just go to church. But the world is really crazy right now. People are just saying all kinds of whatever they want to do. And so we got to really be careful. Please be vigilant. Like, please watch and pray. Like, because it's too much. And you get caught up. And like I said, I was listening to their podcast and enjoying it, but I would never listen to that again. Never.
I won't be listening to that again, because that, like, it's too much. To me, and I remember in church years ago, people were saying how the day would come when people would not heed sound doctrine, you know, the day would come when, you know, people would go chasing after every wind and every doctrine. Mm-hmm. Like, that day is here. It's like, what? I hate it. Like, I literally hate it. And it makes me glad, like, my church is not perfect, but I'm glad to be in a safe space where I don't have to go home and question anything theologically, or I don't have to, like, be embarrassed by anything, because, you know, like, it's horrible, and it makes you thankful that you're somewhere in a safe space where people are not playing guinea pig with your soul.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try to say this. I'm going to say that. I'm going to try this, try that, see if it works. Because you only get one soul. You don't get nine souls. You're not a cat. You get one soul.
If Dwayne Wade has enough common sense to get his daughter, Zaya, out of Florida because of what they're doing, please protect your children, protect your family, and leave. If something it does not sit with you, leave. We gotta be like Lot. Like,
yeah,
get
like,
out of get touch. Out.
You will never, ever, hardly ever hear us advocate for you leaving a ministry.
Mm-mm.
But that right there, you need to leave because they leading you down a dark path. And I don't get up here to bash anybody's church, mm-mm. but I heard what I heard. And anytime you start blaspheming like that, out openly like that.
Once you can start accepting deception, when you can accept lies, let me tell you guys something. There was a major case that got settled a couple of weeks ago, and that was Fox News. And I didn't say much about it because my firm represents Fox, but it's public knowledge. So anyway, my firm was representing Fox, so I didn't say anything. But like when information comes out that people know for a fact things are false, and still report it and still say it and still put it forward for you to digest and accept, like you need to be careful. And there are people who are still dedicated to Fox News despite the understanding that, and this is the thing, the judge said that these statements were false. A court of law found that things that were put out by Fox News was false, and there are people who still believe in Fox News and being an accurate source. And this is what I'm saying. Do not get caught up in deception just because of the speaker. If someone has said a lie to you, accept that lie for what it is and accept that speaker for who they are. They are a liar. They are a deceiver.
Because you can easily be caught up and put into a strong delusion. The Bible speaks about a strong delusion.
Once you start compromising in your mind, that's it. The mind is all we have, you guys. That is so important. Like, you need to guard your heart, and it starts by guarding your mind. You got to pay attention to what you... okay, we got to move on, Mike.
I'm done with the...
Like I said, we're going to be in our social media bag this week because it's just a lot going on that needs to be discussed. So there was a post that was made on social media a few weeks ago. It looks like it circulated a couple of years ago, where a pastor wrote a letter to a saint, and it reads as thus: "For the last several weeks, we have noted that you have stopped attending the assembly of the church. After attempts to discuss the situation with you, we fear that you are no longer convinced in the need to assemble with the church for which Christ died. We are very saddened by your decision. This failure to assemble is not the only problem that you must address. We have been informed and understand that you have a living arrangement that is not biblical and must be terminated immediately. This action alone reflects that you have not avoided all appearance of evil as the scripture directs us. Please understand our obligation as shepherds. First, we must watch for your soul, and second, protect the congregation by withdrawing from every brother/sister that walks disorderly. If these issues are not corrected in public repentance made by Sunday," with a date, "we will withdraw fellowship." And that was signed by the elders. So Mike, I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on this kind of letter to a saint.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, again, like on the opposite end of the spectrum, absolutely not. Like, okay, cookies for the church, you know, like having a standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you won't do is like, and this goes back to the controversy we had earlier. What you will not do is dig in and write a letter to this particular saint and like oust her like that. Like, why didn't you call her in the office? And, but first of all, like, was she even participating in any sector of the ministry? You know, like, was she in the choir? Was she on the praise team? Was she on the usher board? Was she over the young people? You know, that should have been a conversation like in the office to say, hey, like, I heard, you know, X, Y, and Z, like, what's going on here? And then if she was, and she wasn't participating on anything, if she was, then, you know, that should have been like, okay, like, you know, this is where we stand on this, but where can we help support you in making sure that you're set in a safe space and that you don't, you know, because this is why we don't X, Y, and Z. No, they wrote the letter to the girl and excommunicated her. So definitely no. There's some people that would agree with that letter and be like, you know, they're all for it, but no, I can't be for that.
I kind of push back a little bit. I'm not against this letter. I'm not like, I know Mike is like, girl, what? The first line says, "For the last several weeks, we have noted that you have stopped attending the assembly of church." So that means I'm writing you a letter because I can't see you in person. You don't even come for me to see you in person.
That's true.
And And two, like, it's like, I'm giving you space to correct the issue. But I look, here's the thing. How can a pastor be somebody's shepherd if you're not present? You don't even go here. You know, for Mean Girls, she doesn't even go here. And this letter is kind of being like, hey, you know, we're supposed to be watching over your soul. There's things that's going on. Like, mind you, the whole shacking up thing, I don't think that needed to be included. Like, you know, I get it. If they make it to church, then you could talk about that with them. But I don't know if somebody can correct shacking up by this date that they gave them. Because like you said, with the lady who posted on social media, you never know what people's circumstances are. But I think a letter saying like, look, like, I haven't been able to get in touch with you as your pastor. I care about you. Or even a phone call. I care about you and I haven't been able to get in touch with you. And I just want to know what's going on. You know, I'm watching over your soul and I haven't been able to verify anything. I don't think anything's wrong with that. It could have been written better. I agree with that. I agree they didn't have to include everything that they did, but I'm not necessarily against writing a letter to your saint. And it used to be, before you go to a different church, you used to have to get a letter from your pastor.
Yeah, no, you did. So, and actually, I'll be honest, I think we need to get back to that. Like,
yes, we do.
I think we need to get back to that, because that'll cut down on a whole lot of these feet that swept to run. So
we need to know people's history. Where did you come from? What kind of mess did you create at your old church? You say that you're a minister. We need somebody to vouch for that, because y'all just be coming in churches with titles and say, well, I was blah 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 blah. We need somebody who can vouch for your credentials. We need somebody who can give you history. I'm like, look, we talked about Paul having letters. I'm fine with the church going back to letters.
My god. Now that you have said that, I guess because she posted the letter on social media, it made it a little bit more like, woo. But honestly, though, when I'm after you give me your perspective and just looking back at it, I kind of see it. Like, I think it because it went public and it went viral, it's almost like she was exposed. But
right.
I don't think that letter was meant for everybody to see it, whatever. Like, I probably even in that letter might would have said, hey, could you give us a call? Like, we need to speak to you immediately so we can know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, kind of see it.
All right.
Yeah,
what's your street?
So how do we feel about this Kirk Franklin dating show?
So do you want to give some background on this?
So, and I was, a clip was sent to me. Thank you, Ryan. I'm going to just play it for everybody to hear. Hopefully people can hear like on my device here.
We're going to take an eligible bachelor and eligible bachelorette.
They both have struggled to find that special someone.
We want to bring the best singles Atlanta has to offer. And they're going to be living together in this state, y'all. And with the goddess of Tammy and myself, they just might find
the one. New series premieres Thursday, May 18th at 9 on TV One.
New series appears on Thursdays on TV One. TV One always doing something.
TV One, I mean, mess, okay?
It's almost like Zeus. Which Orlando Brown is hilarious. So I've been watching his clips on TikTok. Side note.
Is he going to be on Zeus?
He is. He's on Bad Boys, whatever they're doing, too. Yes, his clips
are Bad Boys Club.
Yes, Mike, his clips are hilarious. He said the guy was yelling at him. He was like, "We just had breakfast."
So I told some coworkers last year, year before last, that I auditioned to be on the Bad Boys Club. I was lying.
What?
And the crazy part is, their response was like, "I could actually see that."
You know, the bad girls club is coming to DC. So
I don't know, Ron. This might be your opportunity.
They said you need to have personality, and I don't have enough. not for that. So back to Brother Kirk and Sister Tammy. First, there was one thing that stood out to me, that they did not talk about God at all. It had nothing to do with
Christian. I don't think this is going to be a godly
show. Exactly. There was no Christian or nothing. When they said live together, they was like, yeah, there's shacking happening here and we do not care. So I think that's what's interesting to me, is that you have these two figures, one who is a very staple figure in gospel music, who are hosting a show that doesn't necessarily have to do with Christian singles meeting. At first, like, I was kind of like excited because I was like, ooh, this is like a Christian version of Love is Blind, but that's not what this is. Which, I don't know, I wouldn't be against a like a Christian version of Love is Blind. But I'll save that. But anyway, this show is going to be interesting. That's all I have to say. I want to know how they're going to deal with, if it's not a Christian show, how they're going to deal with that. I do want to know, like, they're bringing in Bachelors and Bachelorettes. Like, is this like a remake of The Bachelor? I don't know. These shows that tend to do these like love things where they're trying to win somebody's heart get really messy really quick. So,
I'm so just, I don't even know. I don't even have the words to describe, like, because what? I would have understood if it was like T.I. and Tiny or something like that, which still would have been problematic, but it would have made more sense than Kirk Franklin and his wife. What were you about to ask?
I was going to say, do we want to just tell him to stick the music?
I mean, yeah, because
not ready for this.
Like, we're encouraging this. We are gospel artists encouraging the saints to shack. And you know what kind of, you know, foolishness is about to be going on this show. Like, I guess, I don't know. I remember Ty Tribbett said something during the pandemic.
With the Ty.
At first, it was like, I was questioning. I was like, what? Like, Ty Tribbett got on live.
Oh, when he was like, going about this gospel music industry and how it is.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's what it was. He's like, he said, the gospel music industry, y'all, is crazy. Like, he said, I just got off a conference call. He said, certain things I'm just not doing. He said, certain things I'm not doing. I was like, what did they ask Ty Tribbett to do? And he had like, asked him to do something real filthy or like, you know, asked him to do something, you know, very promiscuous. Like, what are they asking this man to do? That he was like, certain things I'm not doing. But I mean, looking back at this now, it's probably things like that. Like, I don't know. And I'm sure like TV1 is cutting Kirk Franklin like a nice check.
Do we need that money?
We probably don't need it. We're probably still getting paid from Kirk Franklin and the family. We're probably still getting paid from, you know.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, we give Kirk Franklin a lot of grace. Like, there was a whole video of him cussing his son out. Grace. Yeah. I still went to his concert. Like, and so, I mean, and he produces music for everybody. Every color, every creed, every whoever. He does not care. Grace. But, I mean, it's, you're doing too much. You're doing too much, sir. I don't know. I just, it's too much. We don't need to be in everything. We really don't.
Yeah. I don't know about this one. I don't know about this one. Like, I don't know about this one. You go ahead, Ron.
All right. Should church leaders use AI to help in discipleship? Recently, AI, ChatGPT, has become a hot topic. And because of its ability to provide answers for various requests, some leaders are looking into its use when it comes to discipleship. And basically, what they're trying to do is find a way to make it a more personalized approach for communicating the gospel to the younger generations. So, do you have any thoughts on using AI or AI chat bots to reach people and give messages?
I'm torn on this because I have a fascination with AI, but I also see the danger and the sheer danger in AI. I think that it is going to come down to a point where they're going to need to put regulations on who has access to, because think 10 years from now, like, what, and I'm not even getting into the church portion of it yet, but just think, just 10 years from now, like, I saw an article that was like, AI could possibly, you know, replace 300 million jobs. So, and I remember, like, when I was growing up, they were saying probably by the time we would get in high school that robots would be teaching us, which not one robot taught me. They were all these old teachers. But I can see 10 years from now where, because of the teacher shortage that we have now, it'll save a lot more money and things like that, where, you know, AI will be replacing a whole lot of things, whatever. But I can also see the danger in a lot of this stuff, because I can't tell you how many true crime episodes I listened to where AI was in the middle of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it can be used for good, but it can be used for danger. Here's the thing, like, I think that we've tried so many different things to try to reach the young people. We tried in the 90s, we tried the Kirk Franklin thing, you know, and the stomp. Then, you know, we tried the Dress Down Sundays, you know, in the 2000s, we tried the whole Ty Tribbett thing. And, you know, some of it worked, some of it didn't, you know, then we tried Preacher dressing down and wearing jerseys. Then we've gone out, we've run this revival out on the street. And so we've tried so many different things that has not worked, or that have we have not seen this, you know, like a it's just so many things that we have not seen. So I don't know that AI is going to be the solution to reaching young people through scripture. Like, I think, yeah, you can reach some, but I don't know that it's the in the end all be all. Just me looking at TikTok, what young people are looking for, they're looking for truth. They're looking for answers. Because if you look at TikTok, they're always like, yeah, well, you know, actually, you know, they research. Like, what is it, Generation Z? Mm-hmm. They research. They're very much so research oriented. They want to know answers. They want to know, you know, well, why this and why that? So you're telling me that I can't go to prom, but what is the scripture behind it and why that scripture? They have questions, and I think that infuriates the powers that be, because now you really have to like study. There's no more do as I say.
Right.
There's no more, you know, just do as I say. I think we came up in that generation, you know, growing up, and generation mm-hmm. before us definitely was in that, you know, do as I say. But now this new generation is like, no, I'm not doing as you say if you don't have any kind of scripture to back up. And the Bible tells us that each generation gets wiser but gets weaker.
Right.
So I think you introducing AI, you introducing like this ChatGPT, great tool to try to use, but maybe use that for your announcements. Maybe use that for a lot of the administrative things to get your announcements and stuff, so we don't sit in church for an hour and stare at a screen, or we don't sit in church for an hour and listen to somebody read through announcements. So maybe you can get the AI and start there. But I think what you really have to do is do the work. We're doing everything else but trying to do the work to reach people. We should to show people love, but also give people truth, like be able to answer questions for people that people have, like be able to have a blueprint in the community for a lot of these people, you know. And I just think that we're trying everything else but doing our jobs as pastors and doing our jobs as leaders. We should really get out there in the hedges and highways and compel people to come. And I look at churches like Pastor Mark Moore in Atlanta, all these other ministries, Bishop Brandon Jacobs, all these other ministries that are growing and busting. It's not because they use a ChatGPT and stuff like that. Like, people are actually getting out there, they're doing the work, they're doing what needs to be done in order to grow the ministry, in order to really become, you know, successful in ministry. Like, I know Bishop Brandon Jacobs, I watch him all the time. They did where one day he went and he just paid for everybody's food at McDonald's. Whoever came into that McDonald's for breakfast and lunch, they paid for the food. And so even though, yeah, you're not out there like reading the scripture or giving out Bible verses, people remember when you bought that food at McDonald's. People remember when we had gas day and we filled everybody's cars up with gas. You know, people remember when you went out and you did this in the community and stuff like that. Not that we want to be known for giving, but also there's work to be involved when you're talking about reaching people, because people remember things like that. People remember you giving to them in their time of need, you know, not so much you created an AI for them to study the Bible. Like, might work a couple of times, but what about people that don't have access to technology? Right. What about the homeless? What about people that are living on the street? Well, how are you reaching them? So I hope that answered what.
Yeah, I think the other issue with AI, particularly like ChatGPT or any of these other things, is that it spits out what's put in it, and it's collecting all kinds of information, all kind of data. So it's not like you can control what is being said. So I think we have to be careful when we think about using AI and like, oh, you know, if your kid has a question about the Bible, they can just the ChatGPT. Like, no, because it could be anything. It's literally spewing out any kind of information. It is not monitored, it's unregulated. And like the same way we were talking about earlier about how preachers are talking about Jesus being a stripper, I could definitely see somebody's chat saying, well, you know, Jesus was the best. Like, It just spits out information that's put in, and that's how it creates knowledge. So we have to be careful with all of these new technologies. I definitely agree with Mike that if you want to incorporate it, fine. If there's something that you feel like it might be useful for, okay. But I mean, it's not going to be the winner of souls at the end of the day. The winner of souls is going to be you. The winners of souls is going to be you witnessing. It's going to be you showing up and showing you the fruit of the spirit. Like, that has not changed and that will not change. The other thing, like, you kind of made me think about this holographic TD Jakes. Like, the beauty about Christ, right, is that it was so personable. He was able to, like, come around and people were able to touch him and receive the gospel in that way, or sit down and break bread. There's something important my pastor has been talking about a lot, about fellowship amongst the saints. And I think when we start adding these technological advances to ministry, we're taking away that fellowship. We're taking away that personal touch. We're taking away, there's something that's lost. I'll just say that. And we just need to be careful. You were talking about going to a school with a robot. I don't want to go to a church and a robot is preaching to me, because my pastor's too busy running 3 or 4 churches and he can't be at my church this Sunday, so I'm gonna watch a hologram of him preaching. That's crazy.
And I was just reading through some of the comments from people that was at the actual conference. And apparently, like, it's like more business than anything. So people were just like, no, it was more business. And hear me well, I'm not calling that demonic or anything like that. Like, I'm not for a second calling the hologram or anything that TD Jakes did up there demonic or anything like that. Like, I just think that when are we just going too far? You know, like, when are we going too far? I applaud technology in church, because I think as we grow, we saw this during the pandemic, the use of technology is essential. Like, you know, you need a good sound system, you need a good camera quality, and you need a good system to communicate with members in the church. Like, I think we kind of saw this during the pandemic, like, we needed, you know, the use of technology. But, you know, at the same time, like, I think that, because if somebody needs to be saved, like, that hologram can't get down there and help somebody come through with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know what I mean? So I think about things like that, and I think sometimes, like, we get caught up in personalities and all of these other things that we kind of look past, like, what could really be the underlying issue, or what could be the dangers in doing certain things. So
okay, well, I'm gonna pass it back to you, Mike.
So how do we feel about Don Lemon leaving CNN?
So what, that same day Tucker Carlson left Fox? And so CNN was like, oh, okay, we getting rid of bad apples, let's get rid of Don Lemon. So I read an article, Ava
DuVernay,
okay, that's how you pronounce her name. Okay.
Somebody will correct us.
Yeah, please do. But the very famous, was she a producer? Yeah. But anyway, she made comments about Don Lemon. Apparently he is very, like, sexist. He's also was very controlling, very similar to Tucker Carlson, where these people have been on air for years and they feel like they run things and they can dictate, and they don't have a welcoming or humble spirit. Or, I mean, it's not about church, sorry, but they're just not good people, and they're not good people at the job. And so, like, I think everybody's just kind of cleaning up, which makes sense to me. Cause I'm sorry, if you just saw somebody else, another organization, have a major lawsuit because of the things that they let somebody who thought they were running things do and say, I would get rid of all the bad apples. While I was at work, I went into my coworker's office and I was like, oh, everybody's getting fired today, let me stay on my toes. they're trying to get rid of everybody. But I appreciate all of these organizations, no matter how, whatever they put forth, I appreciate them kind of going through and looking at these bad employees who have been around for a long time, who take advantage of their job and think they can get away with things just because they bring in a lot of money. So Don Lemon fell under that list of categories, and good luck to him. As someone said, was it Shaq? Who said that? It was Rick Ross that said he would have, like, a position for him at a fast food restaurant, whatever. But okay, sorry. I know too much about everything. Sorry.
Not a position at a fast food restaurant.
I mean, good luck to him. Like, you know, a job is a job. It's at will. They employ you at will and you work at will. So they don't have to keep you.
Yeah. I like... I didn't really keep up with, like, my dad is an avid CNN. You come to our house at any time of day, that TV is tuned into CNN.
That sound like my daddy.
Yeah, just like, and I'd be like, you don't watch the news? And I'm like, no, I don't watch the news because it immediately depresses me. Like, when I used to live in D.C., I had to turn the news off because I was scared to leave my house at one time. Because, and this wasn't even in D.C., this is in Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. And because you were always hearing about, we found a body over here in this river. Such and such got shot in their house. We found this one dead, you know, in the car. Like, I turned the news off. Like, because I was just like, if I continue listening to this news, I'm not going to ever leave the house to go anywhere. Anyway, so I think that Don Lemon is going to be okay. Like, I said all of that to say that I didn't really keep up with, I would see Don Lemon like on the CNN news, but I didn't really keep up with him mm-hmm. like that as far as like what, you know, what he did. But I saw it was a major like loss to the network, but I'm sure like he's going to find something else. He's going to, you know, get a job. And I'm sure CNN probably gave him a really nice severance package. So he's probably good. So
they hired Gail King and Charles Barkley to do
congratulations,
show on CNN. So they got rid of Don and added those two. So good luck to him.
Yeah. My mom and them love Gail King. Oh, she was like, oh, did you see what Gail said?
I just love, my favorite interview is when she interviewed R. Kelly.
Yes.
I have a problem. What's wrong, Robert? The problem is that I have a big heart and people keep trying to take me and I keep forgiving them. Like, I just love that whole interview. Sorry.
She was so unbothered. And just she was just so unbothered and just Robert, so like, you know, like, hey, we're down. Here. Sit down. Like, Robert, sit down.
Oh, okay. This is going to be my last one. It's going to be a little light. Can I kiss as a Christian? I don't plan to have sex with him. This is what the writer wrote in the post. I don't plan to have sex with him, but I still want to be intimate. And I like cuddles and kissing. And it's tearing my brains apart because I want to give more importance to Jesus in my life than my friend, even if this person is my good friend. If it has to come to Jesus or him, I won't have a choice. But I want to make sure that Jesus would not want me to be intimate with the man, even if it did not involve sex. So what are your thoughts about the spectrum of intimacy? Do you not like this question? Should we not have this discussion?
Well, no, let's have it. Ratings, ratings, you know, ratings.
Not the ratings.
I don't know how to answer that because...
You don't have to be personal. We don't need to know your personal experience.
Yeah, no, I'm... I would say, like, no... I don't think there's anything wrong with kissing per se. Mm-hmm. I just think you just need to know like your and I'm gonna say this, we may have to cut it later because this is gonna get a little bit adult 18 over what I'm about to say. Okay. After this statement,
mature but, only saints.
Mature only saints. So if you got your kid in the car, cover their ears in just a minute. But let me first say this, I think it's all in like knowing like what your flesh can tolerate. In a sense of like, you know, if you can kiss and be all right and your flesh not rise, mm-hmm. I was like, hey, you know, just like go for it, whatever. If you think that, you know, your flesh is gonna like make you like try to take things to like second base, whatever, possibly third base, whatever, then I not think that's gonna be just kind of
not baseball.
We have to use the base system. then we might just need to. Maybe we just don't need to, you know, you might need to refrain from this. All in just knowing, like, with, you know, and protect yourself at the end of the day. Protect yourself at the end of the day. With that being said, I do want to just, off, you know, say this. And this is where we just need to cover, you know, if you got people in the car with you under 18, cover their ears. So this brings up also the point of test driving, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've discussed this on the show before, like, and I'm going to just ask this. So you want a kiss and you don't, but let's just say like you, and the question has come up before, like what happens when say two people get married and mm-hmm. either one is a virgin, both are virgins, or let's just, better yet, one is a virgin, one is not. Mm-hmm. They, you know, refrain from sex during their courting and dating, and they get married and they're not sexually compatible. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because we know, like, we shouldn't be test driving anything, you know, before, you know, marriage or anything. People do it, but we know we shouldn't.
Right.
But, you know, how do we combat that level of, you know, it's a wedding night and he got a huge sexual appetite. He's a freak and she's very vanilla. If I should be saying that on here.
That is very, it's okay. You tried your best to keep it PG, right? I think, like, first I want to acknowledge the unfortunate place that these people are in, because in a way it's a sense of being unequally yoked, right? And you know, God still forgives, but when we enter relationships with a lot of past people that we can compare things to versus people who have stayed chaste and don't have any experience, because I find the difficulty for those who stay chaste is that, like, I get the person who has the experience could face disappointment, but for the person who stays chaste, it's unfortunate. You know what I mean? That you have to be compared to the history instead of, like, just figuring things out. But here's my thing. Okay, first I'm going to answer your question, then I'm going to go back to my question. In answer to your question, I think disappointment on the first night, fine, but that does not equate to disappointment in your entire life. That's what I'll say. We should give people the grace and the opportunity to learn. And I think that it is important for couples to learn each other. And you can teach your preferences. You can teach things, or you can learn them together, which would be more ideal than teaching. So I don't think being disappointed on your first night should dictate how your future goes forward. You have to have open communication about that. And that's the thing, is like, we as saints get uncomfortable when we talk about sex and stuff like that, because it's kind of considered a taboo in the church, even though it's underlying in a lot of things. And it's kind of like, you know, you have to be able to openly communicate with your spouse of, like, ooh, I don't like that, or maybe you should try this, you know, stuff like that. So and what you guys talk about in your bedroom, you know, I mean, as long as you're talking in your bedroom, you know, y'all handle that. So that's where I stand on that. There was something else I wanted to say. Okay, as far as kissing, I think, like you said, you need to know yourself. And it's hard to know if you know yourself. I'll start here first. Kissing is a form of intimacy, particularly where you do it at, that could lead to a longer connection if that's not a good person for you. The same way that sex is. So in my mind, this is just my thought. You shouldn't just be kissing anybody. That's my thing. Other people might have different opinions, but I think that sometimes we make decisions in a rush because of our flesh to do things, and we don't realize how much that creates a tie with the person or creates a connection with the person. Says hi. I don't know if I believe in soul ties. I need to think about that, but it at least creates a personal connection with a person that you didn't think about. And you might keep somebody around longer than you would expect if you didn't have that type of intimacy already. That's what I think. Like, if y'all 3 weeks in and you don't even know if this person is the right person for you, and every other week they ghosting you, I don't know, like, if you see them, if you should start kissing them or not. Because
no, definitely not.
Attached to somebody that has shown that they're not committed to you. And like I said, giving people that type of intimacy at all is going to be a problem for you in the long run. The other thing I'll say is the Bible talks about greeting each other with the holy kiss. But let's examine that. Let's examine the word holy, right? So there are ways to kiss people and show intimacy that doesn't necessarily have to be making out. You know what I mean? Kisses on the forehead are cute. Kisses on the cheek are cute. Like, there's ways to express affection for people that doesn't necessarily have to be graphic, or and that can get you all hot and bothered. There's romantic ones too. So I'm, you know, let's lean toward more romance. If we're going to partake, let's lead to more romance instead of, you know, whatever. But that's my thoughts. Mike, I want to hear your thoughts on your question.
I agree with you. In a sense that I think you're going to have that open communication by like what it is you like, what you don't like, you know, how you want to be satisfied, things of that nature. So I'll say this, there was a time that I didn't really like see anything wrong when people told me that they like test drove before they got married. Like, I'd be like, okay, I see it. Mm-hmm. But like part of me also too is just like, well, you know, if it's a God ordained relationship or if it's a God ordained union or something like that, then I think that those things will come. But I think that it's all about communication. It's all about being open and honest about like, how do you like to be pleased? You know, what do you prefer? What do you not prefer? You know, what are things that, you know, really, you know, get you there in a sense, you know? So it's one of the things where you have to have communication. And I know it's a scary conversation because this has come up a whole lot amongst like Christian singles. Is like, how do I know if I'm sexually compatible with that person before I get married? Mm-hmm. And there's no way to know if you don't cross that line before you get married. There's no way to know. You just gotta trust that process. But I think while sex is a big part, can be a big part of marriage, in the grand scheme of things as to what you can accomplish together in a marriage, it's a smaller thing in the sense of things. Because if you're getting married and your biggest concern is, you know, her freak level don't match to yours, excuse me, mm-hmm. then I think that you just need to re-examine that, because part of getting married is a whole lot of other things that outweigh, you know, sex. And like I said, sex is on top of that, because, you know, again, if you get in there and it doesn't work for you, that can lead to people cheating, infidelity, all kinds of stuff. So we don't want that. But at the same time, like if it's something that you can work through, because there's so many other things that I think people bring to the table in marriages. Like, and I always look at marriage as like a business transaction, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's other things that come with marriage. There's so many other things to accomplish in marriage. But if sex is, because you ain't gonna always, let me tell you something, you get married at 20, what you can do, those tricks you can do in bed at 25, I promise you, you won't be able to do those same tricks at 55 and 65. Oh, okay,
dying.
And so, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a small thing, but you don't want it to become a huge issue. And I think it's all about just having that open communication from the start.
And this is the point that I forgot. Where's the relationship at? Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. You know, this person, you should connect with them on multiple levels. It's a business level. It's a thought level. It's a beliefs level. It needs to be multiple levels of connection. Like, if the only reason why you're marrying someone is to satisfy your flesh, that's problematic. And that will give you disappointment completely. Because even if that was about to get real graphic. But I'll say it anyway. Even if the first night is everything that you imagine, that doesn't mean that it's going to be the same way every single time. It's just not going to happen. It's just not real life.
Your mind ain't going to be blown every time.
Yeah, it's just, it's not. That's just not how that works. So I think that's why I say, like, before you get intimate with anyone in any kind of way, make sure there is a connection there. Make sure, like, can I be around this person? Can I stand to be, this is something that we do when we're hiring people. Like, can I be stuck in an airport with this person for 2 hours and not want to kill them or be annoyed with them? You know, let's start there. Let's start from personality wise. Can you get along? Because I think for so long, I think too many times the saints overlook a lot of issues and red flags that they have with people just to fulfill, like, let me go ahead and get married so I can have sex or so that I can kiss or so that I can do whatever I want to do. And it's just like, y'all, like, let's evaluate that, because you're committing yourself to this person and you don't know nothing about them, or you don't like their personality. You don't like them at all. You find them attractive physically, yes, but you don't like them at all. And like, what kind of relationship is that? So take your time. That's all I would say. Like, take your time. And this whole test driving conversation, like, it's crazy to me. It's just crazy that is the basis for a lot of men's conversations. It's like,
yeah, well, I mean, not even men. Like, I've heard a few young Oh. Again, I don't want to. I'll say stuff off the line of the
show. We got different circles.
There's just yeah. I mean, but it comes up like, and I think it's something to be addressed because obviously, if it keeps coming up, it's not being addressed. Like, there's nobody having a conversation about it like within church. So,
right.
I'm gonna hurry along because time is moving.
Yeah. We need to move on from that topic anyway. Y'all can come back. Welcome back.
I just honorable mention, just want to just talk about real quick before I get into my very last thing I'm going to say on here. Mm-hmm. Is Jacalyn Carr has been in the news lately or in social media streets lately. As we know, Jacalyn Carr has her own style, you know, now. And so she apparently has gone viral because she's now starting to wear like, you know, form-fitting clothes, and she's not the same Jacalyn Carr that came out in 2012.
Yeah.
Like she now, you know, you could tell like, you know, she's starting to really like her look, starting to really like come into like her own, whatever. She was in that movie Praise This. So you could tell that she is starting to really kind of become, you know, this really become this being. Like she's starting to really have her own look. And I think we mentioned her on the show last year.
Mm-hmm.
But did we have any thoughts?
I had to look up how old she was. Because when Jacalyn came out, she was a child. She was
a child, yeah.
And like it was given, you know, I remember when I was coming up in church as a kid and I was like 12 years old wearing full suits. So I mean that was her. Like she, you know, she didn't look like a kid. She looked like just a little older, like she looked like an older woman, to be honest. But she was a child dressing like an older woman. And the woman is 26 years old. She's an adult. And everything that she's doing, like, I mean, she's not far from our age. Like and I think it's funny because I feel like the saints are reacting to her the same way my parents are reacting to me. Like, where did this come from? That's not how you believed. What are you doing? And it's kind of like, you know, I was under somebody's roof doing what somebody told me to, and now I'm coming to my own knowledge. You know what I mean? And that's not to say that she's getting away from everything, but I mean, she looked like everybody else who sings. That's like, I mean, she... Y'all don't say that about Tasha Cobbs. Y'all don't say that about Kiara Shear. Y'all don't say that about, I mean, Kiara Shear Kelly. Who else? Who else?
There's a lot of people they don't say that about, but I think they're still expecting this same 15-year-old girl from 2012.
Yeah, you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get everybody evolves. Like, none of us looked the way we did in 2012, right?
Not at all. So, she didn't even have a woman's body back then. Like, come on, y'all.
Didn't. Like, she really didn't. But I think, you know, everybody was like, well, this is what the gospel music industry has done to her. And but she's not being true to herself. I'm like, people minds can change about things. Like, people have the right to change their mind about things. People have the right to evolve. People have the right to really like come into their own.
And let's be honest, who was dressing her at 12? Her mom was helping buy her clothes. Come on now.
She wasn't right. Anyway, didn't want to stay there too long. This last thing I'm gonna talk about, and then I'm gonna be done. I'm gonna play a clip for you. The clip is about 4 minutes, but I'm gonna play the clip and we're gonna come back and we're gonna discuss it. Here it is.
Lego store with his wife and children. My grand. If Christians speak up, things will change. Newsweek has covered it. It had gone viral. It's everywhere. I told my son-in-law, I said, you need to post this. It's going to go viral. He said, you think it will? I said, it will, because people need to see. He went in a Lego store with his wife and children, my grandchildren, and he was gonna buy some Lego toys. Goes into the Lego store, you know, Lego. Everybody love Lego. To get some Lego toys. All the Lego workers wearing pride badges. Roll the tape.
Why are you all in here with those pins on? Do you think children care about what man sucks at home and what girl eats vaginas at home?
I believe, man.
Do you think they care about that?
I believe, man. I don't think they think about that personally.
Right. So why would they think about it when they see your
family? No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to call security. If you're on my lead.
If you call security, tell security that you're going to come here wearing a pride flag.
Come on, guys. It's time to leave.
And you know what's amazing? Most children don't know. You've been educated by me. I think it's grooming. It's borderline pedophilia and child abuse for these weirdos to come in here and wear that.
And at the same time, kids buy from the store. Let me make it stop. I'm sick and tired. Yeah, but I came in here to buy something. When does it stop? At some point, we need to stop pushing this meth on children.
The point where it's going to have to ask people to leave.
I'm leaving. Okay. And I won't spend any money at Lego. If you're in here right now, if you're in here right now and you care about value, this store is intentionally promoting LGBTQ behavior on children. Spend your money in a place that doesn't do that to kids.
Sir, you're not to get trespassed.
Thank you.
All right. I'm sure you recognize that voice. That's my first assistant, Elder Amen Chukwu. He went to buy Lego. He saw, let me show you. Case, there's always someone saying, well, you know, it ain't that bad, or they can sell what they want in this store. Why would he do that? Well, number one, he's a customer. Number two, he has free speech. And when they asked him to leave, he left. And see, first of all, what do you think would happen if all Christians did that? What if all Christians just simply spoke up? Most Christians do not speak up. Now, let me tell you, let me show you what he interrupted. Show the piece where Lego is teaching a homosexual alphabet to children. Run that.
This is the A to Z of Awesome, a Lego celebration of the beautiful, powerful language of the LGBTQIA+ community.
Lego Play offers a universal, but most importantly, a safe space to express yourself and be who you are.
I'm a Black, queer woman who loved Lego bricks.
We invited members of the community to build Lego creations that represent their true stories.
The concept behind my build is you see this colorful, unique Lego brick to represent a happy, healthy, intersex person.
What I built here was a transgender garden. So all these different aspects of gender have their place in that garden.
Now, see, what he didn't know when he went in there, that had already been launched. You see, so it's an organized plan.
All right, that was the video.
This is a lot. Because there's a political correct, like, this is the thing, is I have a dual mind, right? There's a political mindset, and then there is the Christian mindset. So let's start with Christ. You know what? No, let's start politically first. I guess my first question is, do children know the LGBTQ sign is the rainbow, like, flat out? Like, every time you see a rainbow, would a kid associate that to LGBTQ? I'm not sure. So if that's the case, right, like, kids are just going to be like, oh, they have this cool pin. So this is what I want to say. I'm just going to say what I want to say. Sorry. I don't agree with what he says about if every Christian comes and challenges. I don't agree with that. But I also don't agree with them teaching LGBTQ roles through Legos. I think what's annoying me is that, like the guy who was in the first clip said, we're taking something from the bedroom and kind of bring it to the forefront, like, all the time. And I think that's how LGBTQ is much different than race to me. It's much different than gender. Even transgender rights is much different than that. I think, to me, because it's like prioritizing these feelings about who you're attracted to first, it can be very daunting to me. I don't know how else to describe it. And it does bother me that it's like, well, let's push this agenda in front of our children. Or there are some kids who I'm sure have feel, I don't know, like, I didn't have those feelings when I was a child. But I think when you go into the Lego store, you don't go in thinking about your identity. You go in saying, I want to build blocks, you know. And I think there are times where I do want brands to just go back to just sell your product, you know what I mean? And if you just sell your product, I don't think there's a reason for any Christian to walk in to it and be like, let's create a ruckus. Like, I just feel like both of those things are, both identities, I should say, are not important in this transaction, if that makes sense. Like, a business is selling a good. A customer can buy the good if they like the good. Let's just leave it at that. And I know in certain contexts, it's good to have organizations and businesses support groups. Support Black people and Black Lives Matter. Support LGBTQ rights. Support, like, I understand that, but I think that marketing and branding concept, like, we need to figure out, like, what is this company actually here for? Yes, there's goodwill from the company. Yes, there's a marketing strategy, but let's get back to what you're here for. The point that you're here for is their product. And honestly, that's where you make your money and that's where you have your power. And, like, we don't need all this extra background dialogue, particularly around kids. And I shouldn't say even just particularly around kids, but they are very vulnerable to these things, you know? But, like, and there's a difference between, me and my brother were having this conversation, there's a difference between teaching empathy versus acceptance. My sister-in-law, she's a teacher, and she has been teaching her students empathy, which I think is like, it's a great part of the curriculum. We should not judge people for what they believe or think or stand for or how they feel. I completely agree. We should not bully people for how they come across to us or what they stand for. I completely agree. If a little kid has two moms, they should not be picked on. You know, I completely agree with that. But being empathetic versus pushing an agenda or pushing acceptance is different. I don't know if I even like that phrasing, but y'all, I'm sorry. I'm trying to work through this myself because it's so complex. Like, this is so complex to me, but I just want us to get back to selling items. But here's the thing, and this is like the spiritual hat, right? Is at the end of the day, there's going to be a time where we cannot buy or sell if we don't take on a certain representation or a certain thought. And I think that we are moving towards that by how we're losing the gap between corporate branding and the pushing of social thoughts or like social constructs, certain things like that. Like, because companies are represented in every facet, they control all facets. They're not just selling the product, but they're also pushing a certain, like, we support this group, we do that, we do this. They're in every facet of our lives. I think that, like, we're going to have to recognize that there is going to become a time where it's going to be difficult for us to buy or sell certain things based off of what they stand for. Like, and that's just how it is. Now, mind you, like, you have places like Chick-fil-A, right? And I'll use that as a comparison. Chick-fil-A, there's nothing there that is openly Christian about it. Like, maybe, and I've been at stores sometimes and somebody would say, God bless you. But Chick-fil-A says, like, my pleasure and stuff. Like, there's nothing out there that pushes Chick-fil-A's agenda, right? But we know, because we know the history of Chick-fil-A, that they're Christian. And Chick-fil-A being closed on Sunday is neither here nor there, because there's other businesses that close on certain days. There's certain, I know businesses that's closed on Mondays or Tuesdays. So it being closed on a certain day doesn't make anything a difference. But I think it's different selling your product versus pushing an agenda. I don't know. I'll just leave it there. Like I said, I'm still trying to work through that, but I just want us to go back to selling products, because I do think it's getting too complex. But go ahead, Mike.
No, I think you brought up some very good points. I think for me, it's a lot of layers to this, right? So first layer being that there's a time and place for everything. And obviously, like, I think for some reason, we feel how we feel about certain things. But what was wrong with if you did not agree with what you were seeing, or what was in there with you just like leaving? I mean, like, you know what? I'm not going to shop here. I'm not going to, you know, spend my money here. Like, and it would have been okay, because there's nothing that you went in there to say and cause a ruckus in there that was going to change what Lego is doing, what they've done, and what, you know, what they're doing. Like, and you're upset about the employees wearing a pin when probably they had to wear that working there. You know, they had to wear it working there. That was part of what they had to do. So I think the energy was being taken out on the wrong people. And I think that wasn't the place to go in there, record and things of that nature. Because what, and my question is always this, like, what if you had to win somebody to Christ? What if you had to win some of those people to Christ? They'll never follow you to church because you went in there, you caused a ruckus where security had to have been called. And to your point, like, I think that when I say there's a time and place for everything, even for, you know, as they call it, I guess, the agenda, whatever. Like, I think even for that, whatever, and I can understand how people might feel like, okay, it's a Lego store. Like, I don't think this is the place for this to be pushed. I think it goes back to this where parents, you have to do your due diligence of making sure you protect your child at the end of the day. you know, making sure that you show them, like, you know, like, we're gonna go in Lego and this is what Lego is doing and things like that. But like, okay, like, maybe we don't shop here, things of that nature. But to go in there and like to record, you know, your reactions to these people and all of these other things in there, where, you know, you've gone viral now for like making a ruckus. Now you're the Christian. Now you're the bad guy amongst these people. And you're giving them a reason. That's why we don't go to church anyway. That's why Christians are, you know, not in our corner anyway, because they do things like this. And so I think that that wasn't the time to do it. Do think that, yeah, like, there's nothing wrong with taking a stand. As I said earlier, if you want to take a stand against what you deem is wrong, and you take a stand against sin, there's nothing wrong with that. I think I always applaud people that take a stand, but there's a time and a place to do that. Like, there's a time and a place to say, hey, like, this is not my belief system. Like, hey, like, this is what I believe right here. You know, there's nothing wrong with having an open and healthy conversation about what you believe and things of that nature. But when you come all like and, you know, start this war with people, you don't give people a chance, an opportunity to hear you, and you're not hearing them out, you know? And I think there's conversations and things to be had. And I just wish to God, with a lot of these other things, that we were passionate across the board like this amongst a lot of other issues that are sin issues as well. And so, like I said, it's a lot, it's complex with a lot of layers to it, because again, like, I do think that certain things, like, you know, children don't need to be privy to as of yet. Like, there's not a lot of things that children don't need to be privy to, because it does incite a lot of questions. Like, you know, if there is toys and stuff that represent, you know, trans community and stuff like that, like, you know, maybe that's not for their age group. Maybe that's not for their age group yet, because that will incite a lot of questions, and that will be a lot of things that I'll have to go and answer. And me and my coworker actually talked about that the other week. She was like, you know, it's crazy. She said, I'm raising my grandson. She was like, he has a lot of questions about that, because, you know, he's seen men use the women's bathroom because they identify as women. And I said, yeah, I said, it's going to be a hard conversation to have, because it's like, you know, how do you explain that? Like, how do you explain what this is and what that looks like to children? So I do think there's that element of, maybe, you know, at the Lego store, maybe that's not the place to put those things and things of that nature. But I think as Christians and as believers, we also got to do our due diligence of knowing when and where to show up, and knowing when and where to fold down. And I think for me, if I felt that strongly about the pins, and the pins offended me that much, I would have just been like, hey, we're gonna go somewhere else and get the Legos. Like, I don't want to get it from here. So
yeah, it's complex. That's all I'll say. It's complex.
Yeah. So anyway, that was all I had for social media. How about you?
Yeah. All right. So do we have any closing remarks, prayer requests, praise reports? I have a closing remark / praise report. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about God saying no, right? Mm-hmm. And I was going through a really tough time, and I felt like a door had closed, and I was like, ah, la, la, la. Well, now looking back at it a couple weeks later, grateful the door was closed, because a new door has opened. It's not public to my job yet, but I accepted a new job opportunity. I'll tell you
more. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And the way it worked out is actually really a miracle. Like, when I talk about a miracle, I mean a miracle, because these people were not hiring. It was a cold email that I sent, and it ended up working out. So I'm just thankful God for that. And like I said, like, hindsight is 2020, right? So like, a couple weeks ago, I was questioning, and like, you know, like, should we expect things from God? And, you know, like, what happens when we're disappointed with what God says and we're frustrated? And so one thing that I enjoy about doing this podcast is that telling our real feelings in our real life, and like, we're really in like different places and experiencing Christ, and just understanding the wave that it is of being a follower of Christ and being a Christian. And like, I'm doing better, you guys. Doing a lot better. And like I said, I think you kind of said it in the episode, because I went back and listened to it. You were kind of like being like, you know, God might have something else, or there might be something else going on. And so, God did it again. God did it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
He'll take your gloom.
Yes, he'll take your gloom. Y'all, I forgot about that video. That's hilarious. Let's just end with that. He'll take your gloom.
He'll take your gloom.
Amen.
Maybe that's the title this week. He'll take your gloom.
He'll take your gloom. It had nothing to do with what we talked about. Hey, I know people are tired of us.
I know they are.
We be grabbing random stuff at the end of the show and just be like, here. That's the title. But yeah, he'll take your gloom. And we've been talking about all kind of gloomy stuff today. But anyway, love somebody, you guys. Have a great week.
My life was church and all it. I'm a pew baby.